Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording, located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They've got 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and a friendly and courteous staff there to help you with all of your needs. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space. What are you waiting for? Start rehearsing. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week, whatever it is you did this week. I've had a good week myself. My girlfriend Jenna came to visit the other day. That was great. On Monday, we hung out for a day. Had a great time. I did some podcasts this week. Had some postponed, but I also did some podcasts. So yeah, things are going good. And I want to let you guys know, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, Friday, December 13th, I will be playing a solo show tonight at One to One Bar here in Austin. I'll be opening for Pike Sutton. I'll be playing from 6:30 to 7:30. Come on out. It's an early show, kind of a happy hour time. Come on out, have a drink, check it out. See Pike and Sutton. They're doing great. They've got a record coming out soon. They just put out a Christmas song with John Popper from Blues Traveler. Yeah, boom, Blues Traveler. So yeah, come on out tonight, Friday, December 13th, to One to One Bar, 6:30 to 7:30. I'll be playing a solo acoustic show, all right? Man, it's getting close to Christmas. I'm stressing out about the Christmas presents. I was stressing out about the Christmas presents. And then I kind of came up with this joke idea to my girlfriend Jenna. And then we bounced it back and forth. And it turned into a craft idea to give everyone in the family. Amazing, right? I'd say what it is, but my family listens to the show. So stay tuned after Christmas. I'll let you know exactly what I gave them all. And you'll be into it. I think it might be good. Gang, are there any musicians listening? Because I have a great deal for you. How Did I Get Here has teamed up with Austin Signal to get you 10% off of short-run vinyl. That's 1 to 50. Have you ever wanted to make a vinyl, make vinyl of an album that you've put out, but you just couldn't afford the 100 minimum that most vinyl cutting facilities require? Well, Austin Signal can help you. They're doing 1 to 50 short-run vinyls. And How Did I Get Here can get you 10% off. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast and enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's promo code HDIGH. Go to Austin Signal, get 10% off of your short run vinyl. All right, do that. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. The Blowies are here. That's right. They have a brand new single. It's called Selfie Fucks, or the clean version is called Selfie Love. But you can find them at theblowies.com. Tucker and Sam came by earlier this week, and we had a really great conversation about their music, about their political stance that they've taken. They have a lot of songs out there that are really talking about what's going on with our administration. Songs like Dick in Chief. They have a song called Tiny Hands, a song called Russian Democracy, a song that's anti-gun called AK. I think that's going to be coming out a little bit later. We have a really great conversation. These guys, they're great songwriters, and they really have something to say. And it's funny because so many people since like 2017 have been putting out like political albums, sort of like taking a stand against the current administration. And they're being so earnest that it kind of comes off ridiculous. And that's true. There are a lot of records. I've had a lot of people come on this show where I've been like, oh, a little cringy about their political stance, right? I understand it, right? I feel the same way. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But there's also like, there's another way to approach it. And these guys approach it with a sense of humor. And they're hilarious. The songs are very high intensity. They have a lot of energy. Some might call this like sort of like high energy, you know, based in punk rock kind of music. These guys know what's going on with punk rock. They have the energy. They also have some really great songs that aren't about the current administration or taking up the, you know, the wind out of people taking photos of themselves. They have really great songs, and we had a really great conversation. They're very, very cool dudes. And I meant to go see them on Wednesday night, and they're playing at Hotel Vegas, but I did not make it due to the fact that I was kind of working on some tunes for my show tomorrow night at 1 to 1 Bar, and I got tired, and I was like, well, maybe around 8 o'clock I'll chill out, eat something, watch a little TV. I did that. And then all of a sudden, I woke up and it was 3 a.m. So, guys, I'm sorry I missed the show, but I fell asleep. You can find these guys at theblowies.com. They're going to be doing a show during Free Week, so look for them on Instagram. Look for them on Facebook. They're very good on the social medias there. And enjoy my conversation with these two fantastic dudes, Tucker and Sam from The Blowies. Let's get down.
Look at me. I got something to say.
So, do you guys ever watch Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Grew up on.
Remember Festivus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah. You know when that episode starts and George's dad goes, I got a lot of problems with a lot of you people. That's what I get from your record, man. No people taking pictures of themselves. Awesome. Know this guy. What'd you think of that thing today? They're going to.
Oh, man.
They've decided to.
It's just another step towards the inevitable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can take it that you guys are not big fans of the current American administration.
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not fans at all.
No, I can tell. I can tell, and I love it. It's unabashed. Yeah, we were talking about that today at AMF. We were just like, wow, this guy's like, hey, here it is. You know what I mean?
And we're not alone. There's a lot of people.
No, you're not alone at all.
They're saying that, but this is definitely we formed the Blowies as an outlet for talking about that stuff for us and not having any restrictions, you know, as far as like what we could talk about, not just politics, but also, you know, just the social fabric of society.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just everything's kind of absurd right now.
And it is very absurd.
Yeah.
It moves real fast.
Yeah.
Things come and go.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably the times and the technology and all that, you know, and I don't think Trump is the cause of any of it, but...
No, but he's definitely, like, a direct symptom of what we've been doing to ourselves.
Yeah. And I think it's... We just don't know how to deal with it yet, and so the way we cope is to talk about it. And I think there's that, you know, we really want to... There's that urge to tune it out because it's just so much.
Yeah.
But that's also like the worst impulse because as soon as you stop paying attention, right. You know, like that's when they'll get away with even more.
Right.
You know, and so the only way to cope for me is to kind of make fun of it, scream at the top of our lungs about it, you know.
Sing you have about a great it. Sense of humor about it. Like Tiny Hand, just that whole like Hail to the Chief intro is just awesome.
Yeah. Super tiny song too, like
38
one
seconds, right?
Yeah, one time through 12-bar blues. Just try to keep it just like the hands.
Well, I was blown away, and like the production on it is just incredible. I was who did
Thank
that?
You. We produced it ourselves. We went to Jimmy No's studio, Public High.
Right.
Yep, and we had our engineer.
It's a good place.
Max Lorenzen engineered it and mixed it.
Wizard.
We can't thank him enough for his work. Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible sound. It's very tough sounding. It's very immediate. It sounds as immediate as the music is. You know what I mean? It totally matches the music.
And that was the idea going in recording it. We were all in the same room playing the songs live. A lot of the vocal takes are actually done right then and there with some overdubs and things like that.
Is that you singing?
Yes.
You have a great voice, man.
Thank you.
It's like a weird... Can I tell you what I think of it as?
Sure, yeah.
It's a cross between John Lennon and Billy Joe Armstrong.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's all great. Right.
Literally. That's great. Like, there are things that where I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do, like, the slap back a little, like, the solo Dude, Lennon records and
it's
stuff.
It's so
and
funny.
Like,
every time I talk to the sound guy at a show, it's like, hey, if you could give me some John Lennon-y slap back, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He stole Elvis's slapback because, you know, John would be like, hey, give me the Elvis slapback.
I love me some Elvis, too.
Yeah. Well, there's a song on there that I'm just like, I think the record is great. All the songs are really great. But there's like one song, Why Should I Care? Seems like just a huge song to me. Like, is that out yet? I don't know what.
It's not out yet. It will be one of our later singles.
Okay.
And that's
Dick in Chief is out. Tiny Hands is out.
Yep. And Russian Democracy.
And Russian Democracy.
And then tomorrow we're putting out a song called. Are we allowed to swear on here?
Yes.
All right. Cool.
All day long.
Putting out a song called Selfie Fucks.
Yes, Selfie Fucks. But if you couldn't cuss on here, it would be Selfie Love.
Selfie Love. True. Exactly.
I did go listen to the clean version to see what it was, and it's just love. Yeah.
We cleaned it up slightly.
Yeah.
it still equates selfies to masturbation.
Sure.
You know?
That's all it is. It's interesting because it's almost like the way that you're right. It is like masturbation, but it's almost like you're masturbating and then you want a bunch of people to congratulate you on your load.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, I mean, masturbation is not a bad thing. You know?
No.
In fact,
it can be if that's
thing.
The only thing you're
it's
doing.
Just, yeah, if you do it a lot, you risk some chafing.
Yeah.
You know? Just like selfies. Mm-hmm. You know? Social media, you know, we all do it. We all post the stuff, and it's like, it can be fun. But it can be, you know, if you do it too much, it can be a little destructive to your, I don't know, your self-esteem.
And also your ability to connect with another person while being sexual. That was one of the things that my extensive reading about weird people's porn habits.
Oh,
like, they get, they disconnect from the human aspect of sex and turn it into, but I think it's the same thing with selfies. It's just like.
It mirrors that.
Yeah,
in a lot
totally.
Of ways. Yeah.
Where are you guys from? Sam, where are you from?
I'm from Austin.
Okay, born and raised?
Born and raised.
A unicorn.
Yeah, one of them.
Scoot up just a little bit more on that mic.
Sure. Born and raised, and I went to Austin High.
Yeah.
Town, and that's when I started playing music, so been in a band since then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do your parents into music and stuff? Did they?
They were actually very supportive of everything I did. When it came to music, I couldn't have done it without them, honestly.
Did they take you to shows? Like, I know a lot of people that grew up here, when I used to come here as a kid, I went and saw it. Your parents just took you.
They took me to some shows, not like the kind of shows we're playing nowadays.
Right.
But, I mean, I remember seeing, like, the big ones, like Blues on the Green.
And right.
ACL Fest, and they did shows at Waterloo Park.
Yeah.
Like, you know. So I went to those bigger ones with them, and it was kind of like a festival vibe always. But
and when you first started playing, was that what you wanted to do? Did you connect with it?
Yeah.
You like this?
At the time, that's what I wanted to do. For sure, and still
doing it. I know.
Yeah.
that there's a photo of me there, and it's 1983, where I'm standing there holding the mic with a guitar.
Oh yeah.
And I haven't stopped doing that same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's
the same.
It's weird how you just connect with it and then that's it. Like, it's you're off.
It's I mean, you know? Your first band, it was in high school.
Yeah, you actually might know. We were called The Steps.
I know that name.
Yeah.
Who was there anybody else in that?
Will Thompson, my cousin.
Okay.
Z Lynch was the drummer, and he's been playing all over the place.
Okay.
I
know the
everybody.
Name The Steps. Yeah.
So he plays bass now, too, for a lot of people.
Yeah, he plays with Nikki Lane now. He actually drummed on the record.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else? He's with Alta Mesa, you know, Evan.
Yeah,
Butts.
Yeah.
And then...
These guys are... Didn't they just win 20 grand? Or no, they just got the 7.
I think they got the 7.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's more than they had Friday.
Oh, Berkshire Hounds was one that he was in for a while.
Uh-huh.
Which is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
And he just reunited, too.
Last week, he was mentioned on your podcast, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he played bass with...
Okay.
Wide Open Spaces.
Oh, with Susan Gibson.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. She was talking about he played on her record.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what about you, Tucker? Where are you from?
I grew up in the Northeast, actually.
Yeah?
In Connecticut. And I came down here, man, 9 years ago now.
What'd you come down here for? Yeah. School?
I had actually gone to school up in Boston and met a bunch of folks up there who were from Texas.
Uh-huh.
Some of them from Houston. Actually, all of them were from Houston, but one of them had gone to UT for a little bit. And so we decided to, like, that summer, just hit the road, and we went all over the country. We went through Texas. We ended up staying in town for, like, a month, you know, in like, Houston and Austin, and decided to drop out and move all down here. We all moved into a house together. Terrible idea. We're going to rehearse and record all the time, and then we end up hating each other. But, you know, so that quickly dissolved, but I've been here since. I love the town and the people and the music, so, you know, I've been lucky. I met my wife here as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does she play music?
She does not.
Okay.
But she was doing music PR for that first band that I moved down here
with. Oh, awesome.
And okay. So that's how we met. And now she's in the hospitality industry. She does PR for hotels and restaurants.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you get into music, though? Like, when did you start playing? Was it around you? I mean, like, what part of Connecticut?
Yeah, I grew up southern Connecticut, Fairfield County.
Okay. Kind of close to the city?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close to New York. I was born in New York, and my parents are both Brooklynites, and so have family there. We would always go in to the city. As soon as I was old enough, I was taking that train in every weekend. And we'd get to see, you know, some of the best concerts around in New York. My mom, big music fan, would take me to all the shows. Like, my first real concert was like the Rolling Stones at Madison Square Garden.
Oh yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah, I got to see Joan Jett, you know, Billy Joel, you know, just all Prince, the greats, you know.
Wow.
My mom went to Woodstock, so she was like giving me music at a young age, and just like, you know, and I got to listen to all the hip hop stuff, and I don't know. I started playing guitar at like 13, and to bribe me to get good grades, my dad said, "Well, if you get good grades, like straight A's, I'll get you a subscription to Playboy." And by the time I ended up getting straight A's.
Your dad's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
My dad should have done that.
right? Motivation.
I'd be a doctor now.
But by the time I got the straight A's, I got it.
Yeah.
And I asked for a subscription to Rolling Stone instead. And
what a cool dude.
And so, yeah, so I did that. And right around that time, they came out with like 500 greatest albums of all time, that issue.
Yeah.
And then that served as like my Bible for the next year, you know, few years. Those
hitting like record stores and like getting all the
Sam Goody, you know.
Yeah,
that's what was around. Every holiday, I'd ask, you know, like, that would be my Christmas gift. Like, my parents would give me like 20 CDs or something like that.
Awesome,
you know, it was awesome. It was
yeah,
so good. Yeah.
So
off the list.
So when did you start playing? When did you start playing?
Seriously, when I was 13, yeah, is when I really got into it. That's when I picked up the guitar. Before that, I was playing piano from a very young age.
Are you classically trained?
No. I was like, you know, not. I could play. I dabbled, mostly forgot it all, and then went into guitar. Like, I had a really cool teacher who just wanted to, like, teach me, you know, rock songs and stuff. But immediately got me into writing, you know. He had, like, a cassette tape recorder multi-track thing in his
house. Oh, yeah, like a four-track.
Yeah. And so we just, like, got into it. And that's what piqued my interest, singing and playing and, like, learning that stuff. As soon as I could learn chords on guitar, I just strung them all together and made a song.
You had a band up there, right?
Yeah, I had several bands. Yeah, well, I had a band with like the three other people in my school that played. It wasn't like Austin where everybody
right.
gets to do that.
Yeah.
And then like we quickly broke up after two gigs. Like they wouldn't rehearse enough for me.
I know that kind of, I was that kid too. I was like the kid in like 13, like screaming at the others in the garage, like
exactly.
We're never going to get a record deal. Yeah. And like these kids are like, dude, I don't even know what that means. Yeah.
Yeah, they just wanted to come over and chill, you know, like, I don't know, hang out. I lived on a lake, so they would want to just, you know,
right.
putz around on the lake on
be teenagers.
A trampoline or something. Yeah. And I was like, no, we got to practice. We got a gig. We played the high school dance, or middle school dance, not even high school dance.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that was fun, and then, well, it lasted, and then I just branched out to my solo thing for years, and I got into music school up in Boston. And
you Berkeley?
Yeah.
No way.
Berkeley, yeah.
I was going to ask you if you went there, but I thought that was kind of cliche.
It is a little cliche. Yeah, it's super cliche. And I did the whole Berkeley dropout thing, too. Super cliche. But that's where I met, you know, the guys from Texas, so it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And brought me down here, and you know, I was a songwriting major up there, you know.
So that's why I was trying to figure out like it's not just because I get punk bands in here all the time. I've seen punk bands since I was a kid playing, you know what I mean? And like the songs aren't always good.
True.
But like you come across people whose songs are like, you come across The Clash, you come across, you know,
yeah,
Green Day, or people like, I mean, I don't know if Green Day's even considered a punk band for being so huge.
I think they're rocking now.
Yeah.
Rock now, I guess.
Pop too.
Yeah, the Ramones to me are like just a weird pop band that didn't know how to slow down.
Yeah, especially live.
Yeah.
We just did like a road trip and we listened to that The Clash
podcast. Isn't it awesome?
So good.
It's really good.
Yeah. So good. Yeah.
Yeah, just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really didn't know how to slow down.
No, they didn't. They were crazy too, man. They like, you know, some intensity in those dudes.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't like weird drug problems. It was like literally these guys were just too intense.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people just, that's the way they cope.
Yeah.
You know, throw them in, there's some themselves into work.
So let me ask you this, because I don't know your other music and all the songs that you write. Like, was it more like life stuff? Were you always conscious of what was happening outside of you, or were you writing for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my stuff has always been a little bit like I've had solo projects and things like that along the way, and always more like personal
mm-hmm.
problems, things like that, love, relationships, yeah. that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
branched out a couple times, gotten a little political. But, you know, growing up in the 90s,
right,
and then with Obama, and
there wasn't a lot to be mad at.
Who was a hippie and had their causes and stuff.
Right.
There wasn't a cause for us to, and I just, all right, what can I contribute?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, now we're in an environment where for the first time, not that there weren't issues before, but it's like, now I'm really compelled to write about it. It's tough to write those types of songs.
It is very tough.
And not come off as preachy and have from the right perspective too, you know?
I think that you have the right thing by taking it on with a sense of humor. Because it's not too preachy and it's not like you know more than anyone. You're just like, the fuck is going on here? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, we both feel that way. And,
yeah.
You know, Sam's a great songwriter and we have great chemistry together.
You guys write the songs
like,
together?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just telling, like...
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. We do all co-write.
Yeah.
Songs. Excellent, man.
Yeah. We're both in another project here in town called Sharks in the Deep End.
Right.
And that... we've been playing together since when?
2015.
It's about 4 years.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Yeah, about 4 years.
Uh-huh.
I would say that stuff, again, is more relationship, personal, lyrics-wise, more...
Life stuff.
Right,
life stuff.
Yeah, life stuff. Different genre too, you know, like more mid-tempo rock music, but you know, with a little bit of soul,
sure,
a little bit of post-punk in there. You know, some dance elements, I would say, and new wave, really that post-punk.
And that's actually where this project kind of got started. Was
right.
We were writing songs together, and they just weren't really like the right vibe for that band. Mm-hmm. So we just decided to
we wanted
a bunch of songs that were like that and make a new band.
We wanted to rock, and we wanted to say what was on our minds about topical things, you know, not just the personal stuff we go through.
Yeah. The social turbulence.
Exactly. And it was such a drastically different style that was coming out of us. It was so raw, you know, three-piece, bass, guitar, drums. It was like, all right, we got to call this something with that humor aspect in it, too.
Yeah.
This was a totally different project, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how it formed.
And do you feel like, okay, so you guys are releasing singles. You're releasing Selfie Fucks. By the time this comes out, it'll already be out. But you're releasing the whole album a single at a time?
We have a whole album ready to go.
Right.
And we're releasing that in April. Mm-hmm. That's the plan as of right now. Assuming nothing gets pushed because of South By or anything like that.
Right.
And so we're going to release one this month. I think January, February, skip March because of South By, and then the album in April. And the album's 12 tracks, 13?
I think it's 12, maybe 13. Selfie Love.
Yeah, that's probably right. It's pretty short, though.
It's very short, yeah.
And because we have songs like that, Tiny Hands, 30 seconds. You know, the punk song, so. But there's that one song, Why Should I Care?
Yeah.
And that's like a really... That's of all the songs in there, that's like the most personal, I think, topic-wise.
I think it's probably why I connected with it.
And that's also, too, it shows we'll play like a bunch of humorous songs, some rocking ones, get people going, some, you know, group cheering ones like Just Drink Beer.
Yeah.
we have a good time with it. And then when we go into that one, that's when the audience just like, whoa, all right, these guys, you see the focus and you see like these guys are for real.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just like some...
Right. It's not like a joke band.
Yeah.
I understand that. Yeah.
And that's always like, and it's cool that you brought that up and noticed that from the record.
Yeah. And I really liked the record, but when I got to that song, I was like, oh shit, started that song again. And I was just like, what the fuck, man? Wow. This is like, it's like a punch in the stomach. You know what I mean?
A lot of tension with all that space.
Yeah,
Which is by design, of course. We like that space too.
Yeah,
it's fun to play.
So the Sharks in the Deep End—that's a four-piece or a five-piece?
Depends on what time.
The show.
Yeah. Like what year is it? Started off as like a six-piece band.
Yeah.
Then it was five. Now it's four, three. Actually, it was four. Now it's three.
Right.
But
looking to.
We'll bring
it back up to four. Yeah. That the disease of always being short a drummer seems to be one of those things that plague us.
Yeah, it's part of those things that you want to go to like whatever music school and like hang out outside of it and like see some kid walking up with a guitar and go like, hey, dude, no, take that back and get drums. I swear to God, 10 years from now, you'll thank me because you can work.
So funny,
funny you mentioned that because that's exactly how the Bowies found their latest drummer.
Yeah.
We both used to teach at Band-Aid School of Music, owned by James Mays.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, our drummer, was one of my students years ago, and he's a great drummer.
It's now, a good.
Now he's 15.
Yeah,
but he's better than all of us.
Yeah. Super talented.
He can play everything, but he kicks butt on drums.
Yeah, you know it is. It is funny, and all of it's starting to make sense to me. There's like Sex Pistols punk rock music where they literally only know three chords.
Yeah,
but there's like a musicality to yours. That doesn't have, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's not just
We focus a lot on that, actually.
Yeah. Good.
I care a lot about arrangement and chord progressions and parts, like trying to get it to be unique and cool.
Yeah.
I think it's really important because I don't want it to just sound like the same three chords over and over.
Right.
Just make it interesting.
Unless we're doing that on purpose.
Right.
There are a couple songs on the track where we purposefully took the same chord progression on a very distinct chord progression on a bridge of one of our songs and used it again in another bridge of another song. The same exact thing as a joke to listeners that are really paying attention.
Right, right.
Because it's not just a progression, but it's also a rhythmic figure.
Right.
And it's pretty...
Yeah.
If you listen, you'll catch it.
Okay. When I heard it, I might have been like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. You're doing that again.
But
exactly.
It's, you know, it's a musical joke to us because there's always like, oh, bands, they all sound the same. You hear that critique all the time especially about punk bands, you know?
And it's of course.
Like, well, we want to toy with that a little bit. And so we try to do these things that like are slightly off throughout the record that like, show off a little bit that we know our stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time isn't like, you know, jazz or something.
Right. You're not going on like Muso or something.
Right, yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, I had got a weird text the other night. Like, I play keyboards, but I have this friend that works for the Astros and he hangs out with like famous people all the time, just constantly. Mm-hmm. He's a total star fucker. Mm-hmm. He's a really nice guy, but he's a total star fucker. So he texts me the other night, he's like, hey man, do you think you could play Zappa keyboards? And I'm like, no. Seriously. <Yeah. laughs> But he was talking to Dweezil's manager. I think Dweezil's doing 100 dates next year and they're looking for a keyboard. Do you know somebody? Because I was like,
Conti,
I don't
know. Could do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, could do Zappa? Like, not fucking around?
That guy could do anything.
Okay.
Not fucking around.
Okay.
That guy could do anything. Yeah. Chris Conti. I'll give you this information
for
this.
Do, and I don't know if they're still looking for someone, but I was like, He was being real cryptic, and I was like, why are you being so cryptic? What, are you talking to Dweezil? He's like, no, I'm talking to Dweezil's manager. And I'm like, all right.
Chris is a former bandmate of ours, and just, like, he's so good. He's been on tour with so many people. He left our band to go on tour with folks, and he's phenomenal. He picks up on everything, and he gets the tones perfect.
That was the thing, yeah.
It's incredible.
Because I was like, if I was going to go do that, I would probably have to spend five times more than I'd make on that tour on just new gear to satiate the zappiness.
This guy has, like, some of the best ears around, you know, and he's chill.
Definitely has the chops. Don't know if he's got the gear, probably does, but...
And I'm sure he'd figure out how to make it work for a gig like that, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know exactly what it... I guess I know also Dweezil's gone through horrible, horrible things because their family, like, he's got to give him 80% of the merch for using the name Zappa, which is his name too.
Weird.
It's really funny. Yeah, it's really sad. Anyway, all right. So, in Boston, did you play out there? Like, did you?
I did when I was in school a little bit. It was kind of tough just because, like, Boston's a weird... The time I was in Boston...
What years was it?
It was... 2007 to 2011.
Okay.
And it was sort of like a weird period in the music industry there. Like, a lot of the clubs were shutting down, the ones that had been there for a while.
Right.
Some of the venues were, like, trying to figure out how they're going to survive, what kind of music they wanted to have.
Right.
And then in the midst of that, I was trying to figure out what kind of music I wanted to play. So
right.
It was, you know, there were a few venues I would go to and play every once in a while, and Berkeley ended up opening a venue called Cafe 939.
That seems pretty smart for them to do that.
That was pretty chill, like, knowing the person there and getting to play there. But I'd play up by Cambridge and then, like, over by Fenway.
At Bill's Bar?
Bill's Bar.
Yeah, I like that place.
I think it was Bill's Bar, and then it shut down, and it was called something else, and then shut down. That was one of those that was, like, constant turnover. There's another bar, like, I think it was Church. I'm gonna butcher the names if I keep going on. But yeah,
the owners of all the clubs in Boston only listen to this podcast, so they're gonna be mad. when you have songs, you know which ones will go with the Blowies and which ones will go with Sharks in the Deep End, right? Which, by the way, can I just tell you a quick aside? Yeah. I saw Jaws in the theater when I was a kid. I was like seven,
yeah.
I think six or seven. And I wasn't scared of the ocean. I was scared of the deep end of the pool. So today when I first heard sharks in the deep end, I was like, I wonder if they also have this irrational phobia.
That's exactly where the name comes
really?
From. Yeah. It's kind of about owning that illogical fear,
yeah.
You know, and getting over it and trying to face it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know. Yeah, but applying it to relationships.
Maybe I should join your band for a little while to work it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys need someone.
You have drums?
Badly.
Keyboards?
Even,
so you play keys, right?
Not like Zappa.
No,
well, like, no, I do.
We don't need that good.
I guess I could do like the double. I've got a double-tiered Casio, so you know I'm pretty badass.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool. So when you're, how do you dictate where you put your energy at the time? That's a tough one, huh?
Super tough.
You just kind of, whichever one's kind of rolling, go with it?
We just had a shark session this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think we've been trying to get the blowies thing off the ground for a little bit. We started releasing stuff, what was it, last year?
Mm-hmm.
2017.
That was 2 years ago.
Sorry.
Almost 3 years ago.
2008. Jesus. We formed in 2017 after the election. At the end of 2016.
You're talking about the blowies?
The blowies. Okay.
Yeah.
Right? But we never really, like, pulled it together to do any music until, what was it, the December of 2017.
That sounds right.
Yeah. And then we released music...
2018.
A few tracks. But the thing is, we recorded almost an entire album that year, or we did sessions.
It took like 3 or 4 sessions to record the entire album.
Yeah, Z was just great on drums, and because we did a lot of it live, it didn't take us long to record it and write the songs. You know, it was just flowing out of us, and so we actually have a whole half an album also ready to go that isn't the one we're releasing.
Wow.
And so, but because we've been working on Sharks and all that other stuff, we've also, you know, finding the time to. And because this is also a bit of a hot potato for the traditional outlets of PR and things like that, finding the right fit for us to promote it and the right way to do that.
Came to the right guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like when I heard all this stuff, I was like, I want to hang out with these guys.
All right.
Yeah.
I hope we don't change your mind tonight.
No. Sharna was right. She was like, I think you're going to like these guys. And I was like, hell yeah, I love these guys.
Awesome. Yeah, they responded great to the album, and you know, I've been super cool about, like, you know, like all the material and just helping us get some,
yeah,
getting the exposure we wanted, because we, like, you notice we released some songs last year, you know, and it was basically into a vacuum, and you know, we wanted to, for the album, actually, you know, find people that would appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've done bigger releases with Sharks, but it's a broader audience.
Right.
It has a broader appeal.
Right.
So we were able to go through more traditional outlets for that. And now, like, the PR campaign with that Penny Loafer's doing is pretty, I don't know, how would you say, customized to the project and the genre.
Yeah, they're taking some... They have to be a little bit careful with some of our... some of the hot topics.
Well, not everybody's not scared of getting audited like you guys.
Right. I've got a good music lawyer who helped us, you know, copyright some of these things. I think he's a good sport about it.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, you know, some crazy promotional antics for things throughout the years. I remember one time we were going to do a big blow-up Trump in front of Congress, or the local, not Congress.
In front of the Capitol?
Yeah, in front of the Capitol.
Yeah.
That one involved maybe getting arrested.
But, yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
way too much money to actually execute it. We've dabbled with graffiti around the city, and we ended up not pushing it that far, just doing a lot of stickers.
Did you guys make a video?
we're working on some videos. We have one video... In the pipeline.
It's mostly done.
Dude, yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've had so many people since like February of 2017, like, this is my fucking Trump record. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And none of them are impressive except for yours. And it's not even the whole thing is a Trump. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you're not like, I made this album against this guy. There's like a sense of humor. It's not super earnest and like, I'm a really good person and he's a bad. It's like, it's just like, I just, the way you guys approach it seems a lot more logical, and it's less of a turnoff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes, yeah, sometimes with some kind of political earnestness,
yeah, it's, you know, really like,
it can be really,
it's really
obnoxious.
Hard to write those songs.
Yeah, it's really hard.
And I hate hearing them when they're bad and cheesy. And I remember writing a bad cheesy one when I was younger.
Oh yeah,
it was called Get High, and it was so confused, and I didn't know enough about songwriting at that point. And every time I go back and hear it, I just, like, cringe, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, like, Imagine by John Lennon is so fucking good. And then Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan, like, that song. I mean, it's just, like, there's so many great songs.
But those songs aren't as specific as, you know what I mean? Like, that you can
so
listen
hard
to Imagine.
Do that.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Well, that's why it's John Lennon and Bob Dylan.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that earnest songwriting.
Sure.
Thing. And it's such a fine line between really good and, like, cheese.
Right.
Know, like, it's so easy to, one wrong word and you fucked yourself as a songwriter. And even as a performer, it's about delivering it too.
You gotta
have this aura about you to do it. And so the stuff I've heard that I feel like I can do right now that I know how to execute is this humorous, skewing a little bit more humorous about it. And like, and that's where the punk bands come in and those influences. Like, I grew up with Green Day. I grew up with The Clash, you know, all that stuff.
The Clash handled it really well.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's the attitude in it. And then, you know, it's just the tongue-in-cheekness to it, the Sex Pistols. You know, it's like, it's not dead serious, and you're not going to take it that way.
Right.
And the album's not totally that
and
topic either.
They're unreliable.
No, it's not.
They're unreliable narratives. That's kind of baked, narrators. It's kind of baked into it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if they contradict themselves, it's okay, you know, later on. You
yeah.
know? And I think that's important with this stuff. And it's almost like taking the approach of a stand-up comedian or something like that. Like, and I certainly don't want to put myself on the same level of like Jon Stewart or Trevor Noah.
Are you Jewish?
Or those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, that's sort of the way I see the world. It's like, there's all these extremes.
Yeah.
The absurdity.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do we write these songs in a way that like, is palatable to everybody that's just been hit with all the chaos anyway. It's like, make fun of it.
Yeah.
You know? We'll all relate. We're
yeah.
all guilty of it. We all observe it. It's all, it's just a part of what we are now.
Yeah.
So laugh about it.
Yeah. Culturally, that's a great thing. You know what I mean? And also, your fro is killer.
Thanks.
Right? Yeah. I'm Hispanic, but I got like the straight hair. And I also got like white boy looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm Cuban. My parents were both born in Cuba, but I look like some dude from Indianapolis or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have
ideas
either.
Hispanic.
Well,
it's weird. I when I moved down here to Texas, a lot of people, you know, not a huge Jewish population.
Nope. I'm from Miami, and I went to Miami Beach Senior High School. I also went to Austin High, but I graduated from Miami Beach Senior High School, which
my parents did the Jewish parents thing. They're
of course.
Down in Florida, about
they're a little further north, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Miami Beach thing, once those models went down there, they scared all the older people, like, all right, they start moving to, like, to Hollywood and stuff like that.
My godparents are down in Miami.
Yeah?
But my parents wanted, they were like, now let's just, a quiet place, I want sunsets on the water.
Sure.
My own house, you know, yeah, that thing.
Dude, you spend, I don't know how many winters your parents spent in New York and Brooklyn and shit, and in Connecticut, like, yeah, they deserve some.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They, yeah.
I think they're relieved to be down there right now, that's for sure.
I live up there. I don't think I could do it.
The road trip we just took was actually driving up there.
Okay.
We took about 5 days.
Yep.
And we drove every day. My parents are selling their place.
In Connecticut?
In Connecticut. Okay. It's been on the market for like 2 years. And my mom has like crazy eclectic tastes. They collected everything. Neither of them had breaks. They would go and they would get stoned and go antiquing and just buy shit. And they would buy like doors, like architectural fixtures, and yeah, just like find something to do with them years down the line, you know?
Yeah.
And they would store all this crap. And they finally decided to, like, all right, house has been on the market for 2 years. They were trying to avoid getting rid of everything and just selling it as is. They had, like, deep colors, like Parisian influences. Crazy stuff. It's a total nut house growing up in it. Awesome, though. So, like, we were just up there, and it was, like, completely wiped out. Everything. They had a big estate sale. And I was basically, gone. Yeah, that Sam helped me just, like, pack up the shit that
I wanted to take.
Yeah. And bring it down. And it was so cold, though, man.
It's like 20 degrees.
It was when the first front came through.
Yeah.
It was like the Arctic winds or whatever. It was nuts.
That's ridiculous. Like, what did your parents do? What is their...
Outside
of antiquing.
Yeah, yeah. So my mom, old hippie.
Yeah.
Went into... She's lived many lives.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know?
She's done it all. So she was a hippie, did like the whole Woodstock thing. Then she went into currency exchange.
The opposite.
At Gulf and Western.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a big conglomerate. They own like Paramount.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah.
Famous
yeah.
music, yeah. Marshall Amps. That's where she met my father, who was also working at Gulf and Western. He was a tax lawyer for them. Then my dad left Gulf and Western.
Were they Bob Evans fans? Robert Evans, the producer?
They knew Bob Evans.
They did?
Yeah, they knew Bob Evans. They was, you know, didn't really like deal with him all that much.
Okay.
But Bob Evans' boss...
Yeah, I can't remember the Gulf Western guy's name.
Yeah.
The guy that talked like this.
Yes.
They always do the imitations of him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And Bob Evans is a great imitation of him.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I got it from, was from his documentary.
Bob Evans just passed away.
He just passed away, I know. He's one of my idols. You know Frenchie Smith?
Yeah, I know.
Frenchie Smith.
He's Frenchie well, yeah.
Yeah, Frenchie and I are both, like, fucking psychotic Bob Evans guys. Yeah. No, like, I've got the book, the audio book, the movie.
So good.
Yeah, I live by it. It's the greatest thing ever.
Frenchie recorded that band, The Steps.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They got some stories from Gulf and Western.
I bet they do,
sure.
Man.
I'm blanking on the guy's name, the boss.
Dude, if you tell Frenchie that your parents knew Bob Evans,
yeah, he'll freak.
You'll be able to record at the bubble for free, probably for life.
I can have mom and dad telling some stories when they're down here.
The new space now is probably nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they moved into the house.
I haven't been over there
yet. Yeah, it's great. Unbelievable.
But yeah, they did that whole Gulf and Western thing, and then my dad went to work for Nestle, Department Nestle, and my mom opened up a wearable arts store on Madison Avenue in New York, and it's like it's in the space.
That's what I was hoping would go. I wanted your mom to get out of corporate America after she took that turn.
So like, made friends with all these artists and stuff, like musicians, people in the fashion world, jewelry designers. Just like crazy people, right on Madison Avenue. I think it's right where like the Ralph Lauren building is now.
Okay.
You know, on Madison Avenue, and you know, just crazy window designs. My mom is a little bit of an artist. I would consider her an artist. She does not consider herself an artist. She says she dabbles.
Right, right.
Because she has far too much respect for other artists that do it for real, you know? But I think she's a great artist. And my father is actually a really good artist as well. His mother was an artist. So it all kind of runs in the family.
Yeah.
She did that for a while, had the store, and like all my extended family, friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
I basically call them my family.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, you know, in that, from that world a little bit. And then she, had me and decided to just do the stay at home mom thing.
It's good. You know?
And my parents are both in their 70s, so like they had pretty full lives and careers before they had me. And,
yeah.
And, you know, that was the next stage of life. The wearable
art store happened after you were born. Because
and it happened before I was born, and then
she had her.
She comment. Had okay, me gotcha. While the store was going on. Okay. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, and ended up closing the store.
It's funny because there's this. You were kind of raised like your parents have music friends and art friends, and it just seems like in Austin that's kind of like you'll hang out with a realtor. Oh, I'm going to dinner with like a realtor and the drummer from Joe Ely's band. You know what I mean? That just seems normal.
Yeah.
Like here, you know totally. What I mean? It wouldn't happen in Miami. There's not like a musician guy hanging out unless it's like a super famous musician guy.
That's one of the things that's awesome about Austin.
Yeah,
I think everyone's so connected to the music world. It's great and like so supportive of it. You know, everyone like the real estate guy that sold me my house when I came down here. Former musician and knows it's probably the drummer for Joe Ely.
Yeah.
You know? But it's crazy.
Was it Don Harvey?
No.
Okay.
No.
Trying to think of musician.
Austin Stoll. Nice guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, everyone's connected here. It's great. It's a good community. And I mean, the kids get exposed to it early on, which is awesome.
Yep.
So you guys still teach at the...
We're not. Neither of us are teaching there anymore. We both still teach lessons, though.
Okay, like privately, your own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I have like one student.
As do I.
Well, what do you teach? Guitar, bass.
Yeah, guitar. I'll do a little bit of piano.
Okay.
I'm not a great pianist, but I can teach a kid how to play a triad. You know.
Yeah. Oh, really? You can teach people? I'll teach anybody that.
Yeah.
Shit, man. I'm open for business tomorrow.
Sure.
What was that Band-Aid School of Music?
Yeah, Band-Aid.
What's the guy's name? I just drew a blank on his name.
James Mays.
James Mays. How's he doing? Where's he?
I think he's still doing
He's still doing it?
Yeah, he's director there. He owns it.
For some reason, I thought he had moved to Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
Hmm.
Well, if he did, I didn't know.
Maybe he posted a bunch of pictures from Amsterdam.
I know he travels. So it might have been... I'm not sure.
He's a really nice guy.
I haven't taught at the school for a couple years now, so I don't see him that often. But yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's a good guy. He's always done like real cool stuff.
Seems to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a great school too. One of the, you know, it's. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but it's sort of like the school of rock, basically.
Right.
You know, just bringing kids together, giving them a love for music, and like. Getting them in bands immediately, you know, and it's so cool. I wish I had that growing up, you know.
Yeah,
just like being he'll organize shows and stuff. Like they played at Stubbs.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's rad.
Yeah, that's kind of how I started. It was the whatever it's called at Straight Music.
Yeah,
yeah.
Austin School of Music.
Austin School of Music.
Yeah,
I should have.
Who was your teacher there? Because James started there, right?
Yeah, it was James. Man, I could not tell you. I was like 11 years old.
All right.
I did Smells Like Teen Spirit. We did a Green Day song. It was awesome. As like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid.
Yeah.
To play in a band. We played at Antone's.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of those. There's just Austin School of Music, then there is School of Rock. That's a school.
Yeah, that's like a chain.
It's a chain.
It's
all
a chain.
The country.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can become a
franchisee or something? Yeah. And then James's is just his straight up one. Where's that one?
That's off... Well, I guess there's...
A couple locations.
There's a couple locations, but the main headquarters, which he expanded relatively recently to... It's like pretty big.
Man, that's awesome.
It's off of Old Torf on Thornton Road.
Okay.
Of like where ABGB is.
Yeah.
Like over there. Yeah.
Where there used to be a music lab.
Exactly. Yeah, like across the street from there.
Yeah.
I remember renting some stuff there for...
A rock and roll rental.
That wasn't for Band-Aid. That was for... We also did like a DIY show in the same warehouse kind of complex. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of
Rock and Roll Rentals.
Yeah, thank you. It's all blurring together.
Yeah.
that music lab is gone now.
Yep. Yeah, but Rock and Roll Rentals looks like it's
still there.
Might still be there for a little while.
Yeah.
I hope so. That place is great.
I feel like since 1991, I've had something that I'm renting from them. Always.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Something. I got that CD burner right now because I needed it for some stuff. Yeah, I was.
How long have you had that for?
About a year.
They might not be charging me anymore. There have been things that I've had you so long that it. You get this email that's like, "All right, dude, it's yours."
Yeah. I've had that with a microphone.
You paid 8 times the amount of what it is. Yeah. You can just have it, buddy. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a great. There was something that I was. I'm in this band, Skyrocket, and one of our Darren.
No, Darren.
Yeah, Darren. A couple of our guys teach there. Like Darren, Corey Glazer teaches at Austin School of Music.
Okay. Well, I know Darren because he plays drums from time to time with the Damn Torpedoes.
Yes, he does. Yeah. How do you know those guys?
Gino, the bassist.
Great guy.
Band?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my best friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He taught me how to play guitar.
Oh shit! That's awesome.
He was my guitar teacher when I was. Going through all that stuff, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, and so he asked me to come and help guitar tech with them. So
that's rad. Nice, yeah, those guys are really good. I like Ty a lot.
Ty's a good guy. Yeah, he was on the show.
Ty was on the show a few months ago. Yeah, I really like him a lot. He was in a band in the '90s that I was friends with. I'm drawing a blank on right now.
Parade.
Yeah. Yep, with Kevin Sicani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just having like, whoops, old friend day here on the show.
Also well connected.
Yeah,
as Tucker was saying.
As Tucker would say,
it's a small town.
It is a small town.
One of the first shows I played when I moved down here was at Momo's, and you were headlining it.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Momo's was a cool spot.
Was good.
Yeah.
Steps used to play there a bunch.
Yep. Maybe that's where I
could be.
Might have seen it. Because I did meet kids there. You know Will Glossop?
Yeah. The Bubbles.
The Bubbles, man. Those guys, they like David Cotton one time was like, oh, I got this band for you, man. They're all in high school. And I was like, oh, my God, dude. Seriously, you're going after high school guys? And I was like, no, man. You're going to love them. And I did.
Yeah.
Like,
they were good. The Steps was right all up in that kind of scene.
Okay, then I must have seen you guys. And I remember the name.
Like The Days, which was Evan Butts. First band with,
right.
Yeah.
What was the band you played with then?
It was just Tucker Jameson. Just that Tucker was my Jameson. Solo thing at that time. When by the time I was playing Momo's,
did we talk?
I don't remember, honestly. Okay. I was probably kind of shy and I was going through musician changes. Probably not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was new to town and just dealing with the young 20s bullshit.
Happens, never closes.
Yeah, God, I miss that place.
Yeah,
I think
fried pickles were great.
I was right when my girlfriend and I had started like getting serious, and there was like a whole fight that night. Actually,
oh yeah,
dang.
So I probably shouldn't be airing that out. Well, it all ended up all right.
Yeah, it worked out.
We're married now.
Yeah. Momo's is gone. You outlasted Momo's.
We outlasted Momo's.
Cats is close.
I think Max Frost was playing bass for me that gig.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah.
How about that?
It's crazy, man. That,
I like that guy a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
It makes me laugh
that
a lot.
That song, White Lies, man. So catchy. So good.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
What was the name of the band that he was in during that time? Was he in the Blues Mafia?
That is literally the worst band name I've ever heard in my life.
I think that's what
was he in Blues Mafia? Was that... Was Chris playing in that band?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you anymore. It's been a long time.
I know that he came up through the ranks and like went to the Austin School of Music and all those dudes knew him.
Yeah, Chris Copeland.
Yeah.
Who plays he plays
Chris Jane, Ellen Bryant.
Taylor Baker.
He was in one of my rock camp bands back in...
Chris Copeland was?
Yeah. We
played. That's so funny, man.
Back then, like Max and knew all the guys in Chris's band, Joker... It was called, and that had Carson Brock in it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like a small little world. And then Max was always the guy who's coming over and he's playing all of his like crazy acapella like soul demos. And then next thing I know, he's like doing something with Bob Schneider.
Right.
It was Sunday Driving. It was that song, which was cool. And then it had a guest hip hop artist spot, blew up, and then started writing songs with Bob and just had White Lies and got a record deal and all that.
Yeah. And he's out there doing his shows by himself, like with all the.
He does everything.
It's pretty cool.
Talented dude.
Very talented dude.
Dalton was playing with him for a little bit. I don't know if he still does.
Don't know.
I hung out with him one night in LA like last year, I think.
Yeah, he moved out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was like a couple days after he moved there. I really like that guy. He's a talented guy, and he likes to give shit. And it's kind of like, I'm 51, and so I kind of feel like, hey, I'm your fucking elder. Like, but he just doesn't stop giving shit to the point where you start laughing at yourself. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah. You guys, you have a show tomorrow, but this is going to come out after tomorrow. I think, yep, I might put this out on Friday. But do you have any other shows on the books for the Blowies?
I think we just picked up a free week show at Mohawk on...
Is that confirmed?
I believe so.
Well, if people go to theblowies.com, they can find it or follow you on the Instagrams or...
Instagram is definitely the place.
I think that's going to be January 2nd.
January 2nd.
January 2nd.
January 2nd.
Instagram. We'll post about it.
Okay.
And then that's the only confirmed thing, but we're planning some more leading up to the album release and all that.
We have a Christmas song that you'll want to hear.
Yeah, it's called There May Never Be Another Christmas.
Yeah.
Or subtitle, All I Want for Christmas is Impeachment. And we put it out last year, and it's coming true.
I know.
We put it out last Christmas, and now... This is all happening around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
Oops.
Oh, well. People can find you guys at theblowies.com, going there and finding all this stuff and getting connected with you guys. Is there anything that I'm missing? I really love your music. You guys are fucking great.
Thank you.
And, just follow us on Instagram.
That's
really the best way.
What's tomorrow night's at Hotel Vegas?
Tomorrow night's at Hotel Vegas.
What time do you guys play?
We're on at 11. There's three bands playing with us, 10, 11, and 12.
Dream Eater.
Or two other bands.
Dream Eater and Fair City Fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Fair City Fire. I know those guys. Nice guys. Is there anything I'm missing? You're welcome to come back any other time. If you guys can come back and we can do a Sharks in the Deep End show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else I can think of right now.
Maybe when the album's coming out, we can come back and...
You're welcome to come back,
some more.
Yeah.
We would love to. We can talk for hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I could listen to you guys talk. I like talking to you guys. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for doing the show. People, get out there, check out the Blowies, their latest song, Selfie Fucks, or Selfie Love, however you want to approach it, is going to be available when this comes out. And, enjoy it, the Blowies. Thanks for doing the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. Follow me, got a nice big post.
That's the Blowies with their brand new single, Selfie Fucks or Selfie Love. The Blowies, find them at theblowies.com. They'll be playing some shows. Free week, look for them. Look for Sharks in the Deep End. Look for more singles coming from Tucker and Sam. I really enjoyed talking to those guys. They are a great band, man. I really, really, really enjoyed them. I hope you did too. And hope you have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Gang, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, come on out and see me tonight. One-to-one bar doing a solo set opening for Patrice Pike and Wayne Sutton, better known as Pike and Sutton, over at the One-to-One Bar. I start at 6:30, play to 7:30. Just an hour set. Come on out, check it out. Gonna play some tunes. And also, gang, if you're new to the show, a Blowies fan, you've never listened to the show before, don't forget that you can follow us on all the places. You get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to some artists here in Austin. I'm talking a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, 52 weeks a year, baby. All right, find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere you find the podcast, you will get a new How Did I Get Here. Like us, follow us, comment, like the episode you like, share the episode you like. If you're a Blowies fan, share this with the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod, and I will thank you out there because I see those How Did I Get Here Pod things. All right, thanks so much for listening to the show. Here's the rest of this great tune, Selfie Fucks, by one of my new favorite bands around, the Blowies. Let's get down.